Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Beautiful Behavior Podcast. I am your host, Diane Sorensen, certified life coach, hypnotherapy practitioner, mother, grandmother, and human fascinated with behavior and how to live our best life. My goal is to offer you another perspective, to see behavior in ourselves, our children, and others from another angle. This podcast is for anyone who wants to feel more connected in their relationships. It's for anyone who feels the pull for something more. It's for parents and those who are not. This podcast is for anyone who wants to take a deeper look, because this is where we talk about breaking generational patterns and outdated cultural beliefs, cultivating deeper connections in our life, and leading our life with more confidence and clarity. And I believe that's when beautiful behavior comes into focus. You can learn more about my process, me, and the three different ways in which beautiful behavior could come into focus for you at my website at dianesorensen.net. That's dianesorensen.net. Okay, listeners, let's go. Hello and welcome to the first episode of 2024. I'm so glad you are here, and I want to take this moment to wish you a happy new year. As this episode is going out, it happens to be New Year's Day. So happy New Year, everyone. And of course, the new year, you know, kind of marks the time where we, you know, do a little, some reflecting and setting new goals. We often say resolutions, right? New Year's resolutions. And how I love how I was listening to Nancy Levin, and Nancy is one of my mentors and who I happen to be certified through. But she, I heard her on her podcast episode talking about shifting from New Year's resolutions to non-negotiables. So, and I will, you know, I invite you to listen to that episode, and I will put the link to that episode in the show notes. But I love this because what she's really saying is non-negotiables are what we are committing to in caring for ourselves. It's really about what we're going to do to love ourselves. And why is that important? It's important to love ourselves because, as researcher Brené Brown teaches us, that we can only love others to the capacity that we love ourselves. And that is a hard truth. Because I know when I first read that, I'm like, what? That can't be. And she even talks about when the research showed this, you know, it was difficult for her to accept that truth as well. But yes, we can only love others to the capacity that we love ourselves. We can only extend out what we have within us. So if you're like me, you may have had to learn, or maybe are on the journey of learning, how to love yourself. And I think, you know, most of us showing up here are on this journey to you know, wanting more connection in our life, wanting to feel better in our relationships and in our parenting. And that includes, we can only do that if we're willing to love ourselves more. So this year I am deciding what my non-negotiables are. And for me this year, my non-negotiable is using food and movement to love myself. So I am committing to using food and movement in a way that is loving. So what this really is about for me is learning to love my body, or being willing to have a loving relationship with my body, which I have never had to my recollection. Since I was in the sixth grade, so I don't know, around 11, 12 years old, I have been wanting to change my body. And what I realize is that over the years, I obsessed with perfecting my body and using food and exercise as punishment. So I have known for years that I've had this odd relationship. I called it an odd relationship with food, kind of a love-hate relationship with food. And then in the past, 5 years or so, I realized that I had this odd relationship with exercise as well. And I couldn't quite figure it out, but I knew that I wasn't exercising for my health. I was really doing it as an image or something I thought I should do or that I'm supposed to do. If I'm, you know, have this image of health and fitness, then this is what I needed to do. And what I did with this obsessing about perfecting my outward appearance to be loved and accepted and you know, feeling safe to go out in the world, what I did was I underate and over-exercised. And in the last several years, I have flipped the script. And this is about around COVID time. And I'm not saying it's because of COVID, but a lot of changes happened in my life around that time. Post, you know, just like the year following COVID, I left my job. I started coaching full time. And, you know, so all of these changes, I ended up flipping the script. And I no longer felt like I had to starve myself to be acceptable to others. But what I didn't realize was I was still using food as punishment. I hadn't changed my relationship with my body or with food or exercise. And I was using food and exercise to punish myself. And so I flipped the script, and then I started overeating and under-exercising. And what I told myself was, well, I don't have to prove myself to anybody anymore. I can eat whatever I want, whenever I want. And I did. And I didn't have to, you know, prove myself with all of this exercise either. And so I didn't. I kind of quit exercising for the most part. But here's the deal. That didn't feel good either. It didn't feel good to be over full. I mean, to be stuffed. Because I didn't know what it was like to feel good in my body. I didn't know what it was like to be satisfied, physically satisfied in my body. For decades, I had starved and then indulged. Starved, indulged. So, you know, I would starve basically all week long, and then me on the weekend or maybe Sunday, I would completely indulge in food. I would overindulge. So that is a pattern that I created. And I didn't even know what it was to just be satisfied. So I went from being uncomfortable because I was under eating to being uncomfortable because I was overeating. And then I had completely flipped the script on movement as well. When I was teaching in the classroom, or, you know, even when I was in the role of the behavior specialist, I was still in the classrooms a lot. And I was constantly busy, right? I was, you know, when you're working with young children, you're up and down, up and down all day, back and forth. So on top of that, I would also overexercise. So I was really, really stressing my body. And then I completely went the other way. I started working from home and being very inactive. And I think COVID started that. And I mean, it was okay to be somewhat inactive. Even though I did go out for walks, I did some online exercise groups, yoga, and things that, but I wasn't, you know, overactive, like I had been. And that just kind of, you know, dropped off a little more and a little more and a little more as, you know, these last few years have gone by. And I couldn't quite figure out, why was I not exercising? I mean, I could kind of understand the thing with food, because I was either, what it really came down to, as I was developing a relationship with my emotions, what it came down to was I was either starving my emotions, starving myself, so I wasn't feeling all the things that I didn't want to feel, or I was stuffing. Then I went to stuffing emotions. And even when I was starving, again, it was that starving or restricting, over-restricting, and then over-indulging. So I would do one of two things. I would either starve the feelings, or I would stuff the feelings with food. And for many, many years, you know, the predominant was the restriction and the starving the feelings, and then once in a while stuffing them. And then, you know, like I said, I flipped the script, and then the last few years, what has become more dominant is stuffing the feelings rather than starving them. So as I have shifted and become much more, I'm working with my emotions, that has, you know, really helped me in understanding this relationship with food. But I was still not understanding my relationship with exercise. Why was I not, at least, you know, not over-exercising, but just exercising? And what I have come to understand is that I'm using both food and exercise to punish my body, to punish that it isn't the way that, I don't know, I thought it should be, or that I thought it was supposed to be, or I wanted it to be, because of all of the messages in the culture on, you know, how bodies should be. And growing up, I grew up in the 70s where thin was in, skinny was in, you know, and as you know, we've evolved into, you know, where we're at now, you know, it's still the message is often still on, you have to eat a certain way, or you have to exercise a certain way. You're always, you know, these messages about always changing our body. And so for me now, the focus is not on changing my body. The focus is feeling good in my body. And what I realize is that I have never felt good in my body. That I didn't feel good when I was over restricting food and under eating. It doesn't feel good when I am overeating. And I may not overeat to the extent that I was maybe a year or two ago, but if I'm really truthful with myself, I am overeating often. And I'm definitely eating foods that are not nourishing. They don't have a lot of nutrients and vitamins in them. So that is a change I'll be making. And this is not all or nothing. And if there's one thing I have learned in the last 5 years or so, is the all or nothing is sabotage. That taking small, like micro action steps consistently is the path to change. But here's what happens when we make these very small steps. The next thing our brain goes to is, oh, well, that's not enough. That's not going to make any difference. And what I have learned is that it does. It makes a huge difference. It's about the consistency, not about how large the step is. In fact, the larger the step, the more likely you're going to be to quit it, right? So we all know about the New Year's resolutions around diet and eating and not eating and losing 10 pounds. And we're all, you know, great during the month of January. And then the next month comes and we're like, oh, you know, we stop doing it. And then we're all like, oh, I did so well in January. I deserve a week off. And then, you know, we do this back and forth like I was talking about. We over restrict, and then we go to overindulging. Or we tell ourselves, I'm going to reward myself for all the great work I've been doing. And then we accidentally go overboard, and then we're like, oh, you know, I'm just going to just go off it now until Monday, and I'll start again on Monday, right? There's this pattern of starting something, going all in, and then falling off, and then just throwing in the towel and starting all over again the next week or the next month, and around we go. Small actions consistently create a habit that we can build onto. So if we're doing something small, it's a lot more likely that we're going to be able to do it long term. It's sustainable. That's the thing. These big steps are not sustainable. When we take small micro actions and we are consistent with it, it creates a habit. And then we can add on to that momentum. It creates momentum. And, you know, we're in it for the long game. And I have started doing this in every area of my life, creating small, actionable steps towards a goal and creating consistency with that and then building on to that. So, and I always use my example of my water, drinking water. So I used to not be a water drinker. And that was a story that I told myself for years. You know, I am not a water drinker. I didn't grow up drinking water. I my story was I grew up drinking milk and Kool-Aid. So, okay, well, whatever. I grew up drinking those things. I can always change my story, but I, you know, recognize that I'm telling the story about I'm not a water drinker. So I started drinking water with 1 16-ounce glass of water a day. And now I am drinking 64 ounces of water. Not always consistently, but I'm getting consistent with that. So I am drinking 48 ounces consistently, which is 3 16-ounce glasses. And now I have been adding a fourth glass. So I'm getting consistent about drinking 64 ounces of water. Now, 2 years ago when I started this, if you would have told me to, and I did try that, drinking 64 ounces of water or around there, I would be like, okay, I'm going all in. I'm going to drink all this water. And I do it for a week. And to be honest, it wouldn't even last a week. It was like, oh my God, this is awful. And after 2 or 3 days, I was done. And then I tried again, maybe, I don't know, a few months later. So I decided to do this drinking one glass a day. And now 2 years later, I am consistently drinking water and I have changed the story. I am a water drinker and I tell myself that I am a water drinker and I have a water glass sitting on my counter. And every time I go back by there, I see it and I tell myself I am a water drinker and I drink some of the water. So that is my example of taking a very small micro action and building on it over time. Traditionally, we want it right now, right? We want the results right now. And we can go for that. But more likely than not, you're not going to get to your goal and stay at that goal. You will probably repeat a pattern that doesn't get you to your goal ever. Okay, so that is my New Year's commitment to myself. And I am creating accountability by telling all of you here listening that that is what I'm doing. And the first step is my willingness to invest in this journey. I have to be willing to invest my time, invest my energy, and invest in support because I know that I can't do this part of my journey by myself. And so I am investing in a coach who specializes in emotional eating to support me along my journey. Now, I know she's not going to be doing the work for me. I'm going to be doing the work, but I know I'm going to need some support in that. So you've heard it here first. This is what I am willing to do for myself in 2024. And oftentimes also we have words of the year. So I'm curious if you have a word of the year. And I actually have three words this year. And often things come to me in threes. And so this year, three words were coming to me. So these are going to be my words. At first, it was growth. I knew I was committed to growth. So that was going to be my word. But two other words were right there too. And that is trust. I need to have self-trust. I need to trust in myself in order to grow, right? I need to trust that I can fall down and that I can get back up. I need to trust that I can fail and trust that I can also succeed, right? It's not an all or nothing. I can't just succeed without any failures. And I'm willing to experience that. I'm willing to experience the pain of rejection and fear so that I can also experience the feelings of resilience and success, whatever that means to me, and celebrating my successes and my celebrating myself. And really it comes down to the willingness to experience it all. The things we desire and the things we don't desire. Because challenge is what creates growth. So growth, trust, and capable. I am trusting that I am capable of growth and that I am capable of feeling all of the feelings, desired and undesired, to get me to my goal of having a more loving relationship with my body. So I would love to hear what you're committing to this year and what your non-negotiable might be. And if you are ready to ditch the drama and feel more connected in your relationships, I am now accepting applications for one-on-one, taking you one-on-one through reinvention. And I am also opening the reinvention group program starting January 26th. And the registration for that will be closing on the 22nd. So there will be early bird bonuses. And to stay in the loop for all of that, go to my website, sign up for my newsletter so you can be in the know for everything that is going on within my programs. So go to Diane Sorensen, DianeSorensen.net. There are a lot of free resources there, and you can get on my email list from there. So, okay, Happy New Year, everyone. And from my heart to yours, I am wishing you the very, very best in 2024. Thank you for tuning in to the Beautiful Behavior Podcast. If you enjoyed today's show or previous shows, I would so appreciate you subscribing and leaving a review. I am so grateful for all of you listeners who are joining me here for these conversations, because I believe it's through these type of conversations that we start to shift the paradigm, creating a more loving and compassionate world. I hope you will join me here each week as we discover new ways to show up in our lives and create a bigger impact. And if you are ready to take this to the next level, head on over to my website at dianesorensen.net. Again, that's dianesorensen.net. Get on my calendar and see how you can be supported and if we're a good fit so that you can get out of survival and into thrival. Change is possible, and I've got you.